Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and in this segment, we are going to be discussing the May horoscope. I know this is coming a little late. We can talk about why that is later, but we will be covering the rest of May, as well as the upcoming full moon in the sidereal sign of Scorpio. So before we go any further, please remember that here on Astrology Now, we use the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, which is different than the Western tropical system. So the signs, the placement, the degrees, they're going to be different than they would be if you were following a Western podcast. And I am using a different microphone today. I hope this sounds okay. I usually go out of my way to lug around my massive microphone wherever I go. I have been so transient in the last year, really, that I went ahead and I got another Go mic. They're these small travel microphones. The quality is not nearly as good as, you know, a big Yeti microphone, but it is a great mic. And so hopefully this sound quality is okay. I might run it through some type of AI sound processor, but anyway, here we are together. I'm so happy you're here. I hope that wherever you are in the world, through time and space, that you are well. And, you know, I was thinking about one of the quotes from the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 2, where it's being discussed that emotions are like seasons, right? There is a spring, there is a winter, there is a fall. Things come and go, they change. When we are sad, when we're depressed, when we're feeling anxiety, it's a season. It's something that will pass with time. When we are happy, when we are joyful, when we're overcome with abundance, that is also a season in time. And so wherever you are seasonally, if you are moving through a time that feels sticky and more challenging, remember that it is something that will pass. And if you are in a time of lightness and abundance and happiness, I hope that you are reveling in that sunshine and just enjoying it for all that it is and feeling so much gratitude for it. And, you know, that kind of segues me into something else I wanted to talk about at the beginning of this segment, because I was having a conversation with my boyfriend and I was like, I think that this conversation might help a lot of people. Maybe, hopefully it's supportive to someone out there. We were talking about a transit that I actually have coming up. I have a tough transit. It's really not that close, but time flies. So I have a tough transit that I kind of see. I have this one dasha that I run. And when I run this dasha, it's so intense. Like, I shouldn't laugh about it, but I'm the type of person where it's like, there's nothing else to do. But the, you know, first time I ran it, I had 3 car accidents. I got broken into twice. My dad died. Second time, I had all of this insane health stuff. I was like in an abusive relationship. It was terrible. And what's interesting about those points in time is that really amazing things were happening simultaneously. So wild. Like the first time I found rock climbing, I was in my first like long-term relationship where I thought I was going to get married, and like so much amazing stuff happening simultaneously. So it's really an interesting period of my life that I move through. But I have one coming up, distant future. And he was asking me about it. And I was telling him, I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, these periods of time come. There is nothing we can do to stop them. And at the end of the day, I have to trust God. And I have to release and I have to surrender, because it's going to come no matter what. And there's no amount of worrying that I can do that will stop it. And the best thing that I can do is be honest, live to serve other people, do what I believe is best in every moment, have integrity, live a life again of honesty and really trying to embody the qualities that I hold dear to my heart. And then everything else is up to God. You know, it's if I take care of the things that I have control over, what's the worst that can happen? And there are things externally that can happen, but I can't control them. So there's no use in worrying about it. And so for those of you out there who kind of follow astrology and maybe you're worried about a transit coming up or there's something in the future that you're worried about, the only thing we can do is control our own conduct. And, you know, if we are dishonest, if we are cheating people, if we are involved in scandals, if we are involved in these things, it's like, yeah, I mean, that may come to bite us, right? We have to really keep our nose clean and operate in this world with grace and love and compassion. But even still, we can get involved in things that involve our character or our personhood. And then if we start worrying about that, there's the Buddhist quote, there are three things that cannot be hidden for long: the sun, the moon, and the truth. So if we are operating in truthfulness, if we are operating with honesty, that will always shine. It will always triumph. And so I hope that you all can remember that. And just one last thought on that is just having gratitude for what we have and working to take care of what we have. And if there's something that we're afraid of losing, don't let a day go by that we're not just immensely grateful for it and doing our best to show appreciation for that. You know, if there's a relationship that we love, instead of fearing that we're going to lose it, how can we take care of it? How can we show up for it? How can we do our best in it? If there's a job that we're afraid of losing, it's like, how can we show up for it? How can we do our best? And again, we have no control over the rest of it, but that's what we have control over. Everything is a grace. Everything that we experience is a blessing and it's a grace. So just a reminder about all of that. I hope that that supported someone somewhere. I know when we're super into astrology, especially if we're prone to anxiety, we can use it to kind of validate our fears. I have such a dear friend of mine right now. She's, you know, going through a hard breakup and she's kind of using it as an excuse to scare herself more. And that's not the best way to use astrology. We will always be able to find evidence of something if we are looking for it. And so I really encourage you all to look for evidence of good, supportive things. And final reminder, I know I'm off on a tangent. I'm almost done. This science is a supplement of the Vedas. Okay. That means that the science, Jyotish, the science of light, Vedic astrology, it exists to support our path to self-realization and to God consciousness. It's understanding part of the language of God, but it is not God. And so there is this divine force that lies beyond astrology that has complete control over all of this other stuff. And so it's important to remember that. We can find hints in astrology, we can get closer to divinity using astrology, but we can't use it as our religion. It's a part of religion, for sure, but you know, we can't use that as a supplement for our faith in universe, divine consciousness, God, however we perceive it. So I've been attending these Bhagavad Gita studies in the morning. It's been really lovely. So, you know, kind of in the spirit, I suppose, just blessed with divine company. So, okay, got off to that. Let's get into the astrology. So welcome to May. I know this is a super late May horoscope, but I hope that it finds you well. And I'm so happy that we get to do this because I get to wish all of the Taurusian individuals happy birthday. So the sun moved into Taurus on May 14th, where it will stay until June 14th. So if you were born between May 14th and June 14th, according to the sidereal system of astrology, you are a Taurus. Your sun is in the sign of Taurus. And so happy birthday to all of our amazing, steadfast, pragmatic, earthy, reliable, beauty-enhancing Taurusian individuals. There is no one who can cook as well as you. There's no one who can make a space more beautiful than you. So thank you so much for making our lives more beautiful, more stable, more consistent, more reliable. We need you in our lives. So the sun being in Taurus means the sun and Jupiter are going to be traveling together for the next month until June 14th. And so for a part of this, Jupiter will be combust. So while you're listening to this, Jupiter is going to be combust from now until June 3rd. Jupiter being combust, it could bring some relational issues to the surface because Jupiter does represent the husband. And Jupiter is also the teacher. And so there could be extra energy going towards teachings, philosophy, spirituality. Some of you may also be vacillating in your spiritual thought, you know, your spiritual ideology, what you have faith in, that may be changing or fluctuating in some way. It may also be a period of time where you're needing more practicality in your spiritual life. You're needing to really understand the existential questions of religion and philosophy. And for some of you, there may be drama with a teacher too, for a few of you. But overall, I really like this transit. I like the Sun and Jupiter together. And again, they'll be together from when you listen to this podcast until June 14th. And the reason I like this transit is because the Sun and Jupiter are both sattvic, truth-seeking planets. And so sattva, it's one of the three modes of material reality. We have the gunas, right? The gunas are sattva, rajas, and tamas. Tamas is death and decay, stagnation. Rajas is passion, ambition, desire. Sattva is balance, harmony, peacefulness, purity. Both of these planets have a sattvic, pure quality to them. They can both be very spiritual. You know, Jupiter represents philosophy and spirituality. The Sun represents our soul. And so this is a highly spiritualizing time. Some of us may feel called to visit sacred places, to go to more yoga classes, to do more meditating. And it's also a good time to actually have experiential moments in our spirituality. And what I mean by that is actually chanting mantra, actually sitting to meditate, actually going to the yoga class, doing something that is physical and embodied, because Taurus is about the senses. It's about embodiment, and it's also about practicality. It's grounded. You know, if it were more of an air sign, it might be this more ethereal, contemplative, you know, energy, but this is this very real, pragmatic, grounded force. So it's really a good time to physically experience our spiritual practices. Pranayama is another option. And it is also a great time for us to find practicality in religion and spirituality. So if you've been having really big questions, or you've been wanting to get to the bottom of something or understand something in a more grounded way, it's a great time to connect with a spiritual leader or a coach, mentor, maybe even a therapist for these things. Another great way to spend this time, because, you know, not only is the Sun moving through Taurus, not only is Jupiter moving through Taurus, but Venus is going to be moving through Taurus as well. Venus will be in Taurus from May 18th until June 12th. And with Venus joining the party, this also, you know, reminds us to enjoy the senses. Filling our home with fresh flowers, trying out a new restaurant, getting a massage, maybe even getting acupuncture, going to yoga classes, like I was saying, enjoying the five senses and reveling in the five senses, and also experiencing divinity with the five senses. I think it is so easy to go out in nature, you know, feel the grass on our feet, smell the flowers, smell the air, you know, feel the breeze on our skin, and just revel in this experience, this existence. So there's so many outlets to revel in Taurusian senses that is completely free and very clarifying and purifying. You know, it's like we can indulge the senses by having a bunch of fried food and maybe not feeling well the next day, or having a bunch of soda, or like whatever it is, and maybe not end up feeling well. But there's a way to engage the senses and indulge in the senses in a way that leaves us feeling balanced and good, you know, in our body, in our environment, in our life. And so Venus being in Taurus is a beautiful, beautiful transit. I love Taurus season. I love the energy of Taurus. Venus is in its own sign when it's in Taurus. So this is actually a very positive time. I'll say Venus is combust from April 28th until July 11th. Venus moves close with the Sun. Mercury and Venus in orbit, they're never too far away from the sun. So for them to be combust, it's not really unusual. But I'll just kind of put that on your radar that Venus combust could maybe bring up some stuff in relationship, bring passion up in relationship. It could bring some nitpicking. It may bring some confusion, but Venus is combust relatively often. And I would say overall, Venus being in Taurus is an amazing stabilizing energy. And Venus is the planet of love and romance and relationship, diplomacy. So this is a good time for earthy, practical, stable relationship and trying to bring that into relationship. And I can't stress enough, if you're wanting to bring art into the home, if you're wanting to get something new to make your space more beautiful, if you're wanting to get a new rug, if you're wanting to bring peonies into the house, peonies are like my absolute favorite flower. I just can't get over how gorgeous they are. Getting some peonies, lily of the valley, whatever it is, jewelry, maybe you want to make art. Having the sun and Venus in Taurus is an outstanding time to learn how to cook a new meal, share a meal with family, decorate, create art, silversmith, write poetry, anything that enhances Venus in your life. And I will always say the best way to be in Venusian energy is being outside, near a stream, near water, near flowers. I mean, nature. Real nature is just filled with Venusian qualities. So that's a beautiful, free way to engage with Venus. So, on a little bit less of a sweet note, Mars and Rahu are moving close together. They are going to be getting closer and closer in degrees. On May 19th, Mars and Rahu will conjoin at 20 degrees of Pisces. So, if you have planets at 20 degrees of Pisces, this may be a week where maybe you're feeling a little aggravated, anxious, pent up with energy. You might feel flustered or frustrated, maybe even a little bit more combative than usual. This is 20 degrees of Pisces, maybe 20 degrees of Virgo as well. So, do be mindful. If any of us, have planets at 20 degrees of Pisces or Virgo, and, we may feel like we have nervous energy. It might be a time where, on the beneficial side, we might feel very passionate. We might feel very motivated, ambitious, having a lot of energy to move things forward or produce something new. And so that's a great way to harness Mars and Rahu. It's also a good time to be physically active. Pisces is the feet, so taking long walks, taking long runs, dancing, getting the nervous energy out of our system. And as always, I must remind you that this is a time where we might be a little bit more accident prone, prone to injury, prone to spraining an ankle, hurting our foot. So be mindful of potential accidents and injuries as well. Globally, this could cause problems. We were talking about at the beginning of this transit that it's transiting the fourth house of the United States. This is the homeland. During this period, we've had all of these protests on college campus. We've had so much upheaval within citizens here in the United States. There's been arrest of citizens. I want to remind everyone as well that Saturn is in the sign of Aquarius. And we were talking about at the very beginning of this transit, Saturn has been in Aquarius for a few years now. At the beginning of this transit, that Saturn in Aquarius would bring a global focus to humanitarian efforts. Lo and behold, we have this happening in Ukraine. We have this happening with Palestinians. I mean, it is just one thing after another, and it is a global focus. Everyone is paying attention. This is a, this is an important thing to notice because Saturn, like Jupiter, is a social planet. Whatever Saturn is doing, whatever Jupiter is doing, it's going to have a global impact. So, with Saturn in Aquarius, it's causing us all to focus on humanity, humanitarian efforts, coming together, forming groups, making a difference, making a change. That is what Aquarius is about. Aquarius is the progressive change-making planet or sign, excuse me. Jupiter in Taurus, there's going to be a focus on economy, wealth, money, resources, how we invest, how we manage money. This is a year transit. Let's just watch and see. Okay, Jupiter just entered Taurus May 1st. And so it will have a global impact on these Taurus region things. Taurus, of course, is also food, resources, how we sustain ourselves. I've mentioned this many times. I think that there will be absolutely this focus on food, how we get sustenance, having some sort of, you know, hopefully rules and regulations around food. But I also think there will be this focus on futuristic food, you know, with weird modified stuff. So let's keep an eye on that. So Uranus will enter Taurus on June 1st. Mars will enter Aries on June 1st. So we'll kind of talk about that as we move into June. I'm kind of looking here. I want to see if there's anything else I wanted. Well, there's definitely other things I wanted to mention. But in regards to this Uranus in Taurus, this is a really big shift too. Like, this is a monumental shift. Uranus has been in Aries for years. And Uranus is electricity. It's voltage. It shocks. It's also revolutionary. It's very rebellious. It's very new age. It's very inventive. Uranus moving into Taurus, there may be more earthquakes. There may be more of this focus on food. As we move into the summer months, we'll have a buildup of Uranus, Mars, and Jupiter in Taurus. I do anticipate heat, okay? I don't know how much I've said on this podcast, but on Patreon, I talk about this quite a bit. In summer, when Mars and Uranus are in Taurus with Jupiter, I do anticipate intensity globally, okay? Maybe explosive energy, sudden attacks, or sudden aggressive energy. So we can kind of talk about that as we get a little bit closer. So talking about this full moon in Scorpio, and then we will wrap up our time together. We have a full moon in the sidereal sign of Scorpio on May 23rd, 2024 at 8 degrees of Scorpio in the nakshatra of Anuradha. Anuradha is associated to Radha. Radha and Krishna, if you're unfamiliar with the you know, one of the most famous lovers of all time, Krishna is the main character of the Bhagavad Gita. I highly recommend reading the Bhagavad Gita. I couldn't recommend it more. And Radha is Krishna's favorite devotee. And so there are so many stories and so many pastimes about Radha and Krishna, and they're like Leela. Okay, Leela is divine play, and it's just absolutely beautiful. And so Radha is known for her devotion, for her love, for her unwavering loyalty to Krishna. And something that is so beautiful about this, about all of these stories to me, is that first of all, we are seeking God. So God is seeking us. So when we look for God, God is also looking for us. So if we are opening our eyes and looking for divine intervention, or we're looking for divine messages or divine support, that energy is also seeking us. And the other essence that I love about Radha is that it's a reminder to pray and to engage in meditation, to engage in our spiritual practices, however that looks for us, when we're happy, when we're grateful, when we have abundance, when something beautiful comes to us. I think that so often we will pray, or we will get a yajna, or we'll do some sort of spiritual practice when things are going wrong and we're like needing help. And I think that the love of Radha and that devotion, what devotion reminds me of, is that it's a really beautiful and rewarding thing to show up fully for what we perceive as the divine when everything is going really well and we don't really need anything. We're showing up because we're grateful, and we're showing up because we're absolutely in love with this life and with the beauty of what this life has to offer, and the beauty of what divine energy and consciousness fills us with, the relief it brings us on a daily basis. And so it's a reminder to myself, you know, hopefully it's a reminder to everyone else, but those are a few of the things that come to mind. So something to contemplate around the full moon in Anuradha is devotion. What are we devoted to? Do we truly represent and embody what we stand for and what we want to stand for? Are we devoted to the integrity of our life? And are we devoted to our life? You know, we can have all of the passion in the world. We can have all of the inspiration in the world, but if we're not devoted to utilizing it, we don't harness it, we don't channel it, we don't direct it with Saturn energy on Uranus ruled by Saturn. If we don't have the discipline of that devotion to our life, nothing may materialize. You know, we could have so many amazing ideas, so much inspiration, so much potential that just sits inside of us. What we really need is that devotion to ourselves. We have to have direction. We have to have a plan. We have to have commitment to our life, what our life has to offer, and to our own potential. We have to believe in our own potential. And I think that honestly, I feel like when I reflect on my work and what I do, I think it's just reminding people of their potential. I think that highly, highly gifted, talented, insightful people come to me, and all I do is reflect back how gifted they are, and then they do something with it, and it's really beautiful to see. And you know, something else that I'm thinking about is that it is a commitment to ourself, but it's also a commitment to our dharma and the world around us. I was reading Women Who Run with Wolves recently, and there's a chapter where the author is talking about spirit and how there is the infinite soul, and then there is our ego, and the spirit is something that kind of lies between. So it's like the spirit is our personal embodiment of the soul mixed with the expression of our ego. And so this is a healthy integration of our ego. You know, we need our ego to fulfill our dharma. We need a healthy integration. It doesn't mean that we overly identify with the ego. It doesn't mean that we get lost in the drama of material reality, that we get lost in the drama of things we can't control. But we know what our gift is. We know what's special about our ego. We know what's special about our gifts. We know how we can help, how we can support the world, how we can leave this place better than when we found it. And so when we have that ability and we have that relationship to ourself and our own ego with that divine understanding of the soul, the spirit soul that connects us all, we can really touch our own spirit. And that's a really beautiful thing. So I wanted to offer that too on the Anurata note and devotion. It's not just devotion to ourselves, it's devotion to everything. It's devoted to our own special network in the cosmos. Something else to keep in mind about this full moon is that the moon is debilitated in Scorpio. So there could be fluctuating emotions. There could be external factors in the world that we have no control over. It is an amazing time to remind ourselves how we can show up with stability, how we can show up with a steadfast, grounded, practical, unwavering energy. Try not to control the waters, right? Scorpio is a fixed water sign. Water is inherently movable, changeable, flexible, and then it turns to ice in the sign of Scorpio. Scorpio tries to control the tides, right? Scorpio is known for having this kind of controlling energy to it. And so this is a reminder that there's a time to swim for our lives in this life. There's a time where we need to swim aggressively. There's a time where we need to gently wade through the water. There's a time where we need to kind of bob. And then there are times where we need to lay on our back and just breathe and let the water take us. So try not to control the waters. Try to focus on what you need to do with your energy to have a peaceful swim. So this is what I have for this week. I hope you found it helpful. I am offering readings for a month. I opened a month up. So if you want to book a reading, you can go to innerknowing.yoga. My Instagram is astrologynow_podcast, and you can get weekly horoscopes for each of the 12 zodiac signs at patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you so much.